Determination and resilience are just some of the words I use to describe my guest in today's episode of the Girl Unlimited podcast. Wumi Adereti, a stay-at-home mom, started Mama's Butters, what she fondly calls a mama-owned beauty and wellness company, in early 2021 from the comfort of her home while raising a very young family. Starting with a collection of lightly scented shea body butters, she has drawn on her past experience in retail, communication, and love for perfume, and has not looked back since. In this episode, we delve into Wumi's early years of when her dream was to work in the UN, her why for doing what she does now, the challenges she's experienced as a new business owner, and how she's overcoming them. If you're about to start a business or still in your early days, I'm confident you'll enjoy listening to Wumi's experience, gleaning from her wisdom and positive outlook. My name is Tiari, and you're listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. So Wumi, welcome to the podcast, the Girl Unlimited podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Oh, honestly, guys, Wumi and I have known each other for a few years now. We go way back. She and her husband used to live here in the UK, and then she changed camps and moved to America.
Yeah. So
it took me a while. It took me a while to forgive her. No, I'm joking. But
I know, right?
because herself and her husband Nii were, I mean, they were one of my favorite couples of all time.
Thank you. I really
enjoyed, you know, I mean, her husband Nii, we used to spend time talking, and such an intelligent guy, and you know, Wumi, such a sweet spirit. So I mean, it broke my heart to see them leave, but I knew that they had to go, so it was fine. But you know, hey ho, we have social media and WhatsApp, so it
helps us to connect, right?
It's not been that bad. But I still remember, you know, just before we pressed record, we were just talking about, again, exchanging notes. You know, now it's children. Back then, it used to be pregnancy notes.
Oh my God. Those conversations, right?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, those are quite a few years back now. But, you know, then a couple of weeks ago, she then sends this message saying that she's launching this business. And I was like, I'm so excited. Because those who know me know that I love news like this, you know. Hearing of people who are, you know, stepping out of their comfort zone and doing something that they love. And I have a huge soft spot for entrepreneurial women and women of African descent. That's probably because obviously I'm a female entrepreneur myself, and I, if you can't tell, I'm also of African descent. So it thrilled me to no end. It felt like ice cream in the middle of the night. So I was so excited, and I knew I definitely had to get you on. So thank you for coming in. So let's just dive right
in. My pleasure. Uh-huh.
So let's take it way back, Wumi. You know, okay. I want to know everything.
Everything.
Everything. Okay. Everything that you can tell, that you feel free to tell, you know. So what was it like?
I'm an open book.
That's great. I'm that thrills me to no end. So what was it like growing up for you, and have you always had this entrepreneurial spirit? And tell us your story and how you ended up right here right now.
Okay, so where do I start from? I have a sister, an older sister. I have an older brother and a younger brother. So I grew up I studied in the UK for a couple of years, then went back to Nigeria. I went to Comeda University. So I studied French. I know a lot of people are like,
interesting. Do you still
speak French? Yes, I studied French for my degree. And I think where I would say my passion for business or just style, fashion, everything, lifestyle came from spending a lot of time with my mom. So when I, before I went into uni, I was home for like 2 years. So I would be that girl that would go to the market with my mom. I would pick out clothes for her. Like she's going to church. We will talk about like lace. Obviously that's like the African attire that our parents wear. You know, we always did that. And it was just like a girly time. Me and my mom would do everything together. And she is a businesswoman. So she owns a Bible store in the market. So that's her passion. And she's always had that for years. It's so funny. My sister said yesterday when she saw what I was doing, she's like, oh, you're like, you're your mom's daughter because everything business, everything. So I was that kind of girl. And then it was time for me to go do my master's. So it was a conversation of which country would I go to? Would I go to Canada, because my sister lives there, or would I stay in the UK? I'll go to the UK. But my dad was very, you know, adamant that I should go to the UK. Thank God I did, because that's where I met my husband. So it was okay, what am I picking? What masters am I picking? I went for international relations because I was like, okay, I want to work in the UN. I want to do that diplomacy thing. And that was my dream. So I got to the UK, I finished my masters, I did well. But in between, I just really started falling in love with retail. So I worked, I just always did retail. So I worked at, you know, like they had this Delaware thing. It's like, you know, like working in the Wembley Stadium or the Arsenal Stadium. And we would do like, you know, those people that sell food. So I would just be there. I just loved it. And then, you know, I would work at the till. It was very exciting. And I didn't feel like, oh, I have a master's. Why am I not going for a job that was in that line? I just love talking to people. I loved the atmosphere of people coming, having conversations. So that customer service thing, I loved it. So then as time went on, I met my husband, got married. And then I got a job at House of Fraser. So I was working in a boutique. I remember like downstairs of House of Fraser in Croydon, and it was like a designer situation. So you had like Hugo Boss, and it was for kids. So literally I spent my days convincing parents to buy things that were like £200, a jacket that is £200, 300. And I was meeting targets and beating targets. So I would get bonuses just because I was having conversation with people and convincing them that this is the best thing for your child. Like you shouldn't buy any other thing. And I just loved it. And my manager loved me. And he just saw that, girl, you're doing this and people are buying. So every day I would get to the till. I'll be like, okay, what's my target? And I'll be like, okay, I can do this. So I would, like, people would come in. I would go talk to them. I'll describe everything they're buying. And I just really loved that, you know, the atmosphere of customer service, selling things to people, like really hyping up products. Like, I'm like, okay, fine. Why are you buying something that's $200 for an 18-month-old that is Timberland? But I did it. I was, and then it was just so fun. It was something that I loved. So fast forward, we came to America, and then my husband was in school. And at one point, I had my second son, and I was like, okay, I need to start working. I need to do something because I can't just, you know, like being that supportive wife. So I went online and I'm like, okay, stay at home.
You didn't want to be the supportive wife anymore.
I just wanted to get money and just like, and then I'm the spender in the house. So my husband is like, he does the budget. So I need money because I didn't even know why I needed money, but I just knew that. Like, how can you love fashion and design and everything and not be able to practice?
I totally
practice on myself.
Totally get you.
So I went online and I checked and I said, okay, work from home. And then this company came up, it's Stitch Fix. So Stitch Fix is a personal styling company so you'll be a personal styler and you would pick out outfits for people. So can you see like the retail part of it was still coming in. Mm-hmm. but I didn't even know I could be a stylist. So I was picking out clothes for people, describing how to wear it, talking about body size. I just didn't know I had it in me. Like I would, and then obviously that, okay, I have a target. So we had matrix. So we had to like keep in the green. So I just started having that drive of making sure that I was doing, like, I would work harder. Like my manager would be like, well, let me just chill out. No, I want to get the green. I want to get everything perfect. Then I got promoted to senior stylist. This is just all the push, the drive, the passion in me. And I'm like, I would pay attention to my matrix, email my manager. How do I get this better? And then there was one time I had worked so hard in making sure that my matrix was all green that on our social platform, someone just asked a random question about matrix. And then I sent her this presentation because I had done a presentation for my team. So I sent it to like one person. All of a sudden, like hundreds, 200 people were asking me for that same presentation. I found myself sharing it. So it was just like a drive in me that I felt like selling, retail, styling, everything was just in me that I felt like I could do nothing else. So I left my master's, I left my degree, and I've always loved retail, fashion, styling, selling, everything. So I did that for over 4 years. So obviously COVID hit and then they had to downsize. And I was still home. I was still saying, what can I do? So I found this beautiful, this amazing coach online. We went to Covenant University together. So I was like, where can I sell? I will need to sell something. I need to do retail. I need to. So I found her. She's a coach and a strategist, Kome Olori. And I found her online. I'm like, okay, she's been talking about six figures and all the stuff they talk about for Amazon. I signed up. So she has a community called She Dares to Succeed. And it's a group of women that come together and we just encourage each other business-wise, everything. And, you know, I joined the community. You pay a subscription and we just start chatting, talking. And also, you can stop me when you're ready. But
No, go on.
So we started that community, people encouraging, some of them are UK, Canada, America. I just love that. So I signed up for Amazon, started selling on Amazon, FBA. So then when I was doing that, I was like, okay, I still need more. So there's an app called Mercari and it's in America. And you sell like stuff in your house, old things, you know, old clothes, perfume, whatever. And I just started selling there because I'm like, I like Amazon, I like eBay, but I want to sell something. And I started in December, and within December to now, I've made over $3,000.
Wow.
Just by, sorry, of course, decluttering all the things I've acquired over
From
the years,
things.
All the money.
Old things. And
people,
wow.
Yeah, and people would buy. So wow. I started doing that, and then I fell in love with perfume. So obviously, YouTube. Started watching all these perfume reviews and I have like a million, but I started like, I would have like half a bottle of perfume and someone would want it. So they would pay, I would just list it for something cheap and people would want it. So I just became that woman that had boxes to ship stuff out. I had bubble wrap, I had sellotape. I had all that. So I love doing it. So I was in the community, hanging out with girls, talking. And I was always, like, I didn't always want to, I would buy things from people. So I found myself buying snacks from Nigeria because I was a girl that sells snacks in our group. I'll find myself buying spices from the UK because I felt like as an entrepreneur, I also want to support people, not just.
Absolutely.
But I always said, when is my time? Make sure you buy from me. So I did that. And then obviously my coach, she had this opportunity for you to sign up for strategy sessions if you want to create products. So I always wanted to do that. I would tease that I'm going to do strategy. So then I had the money and then I signed up. And I signed up with her. I connected with somebody else. So we did it together. So the girl I connected with, Ayinate, she's in Aberdeen. So it was nice to have someone that we could rub minds together. And we literally sat down almost every Saturday. We would do strategy together, we'd talk. And then this Mama's Butters just came. So that was how Mama's Butters came.
there's so many things you said, and I was like trying to take notes as you were talking. So first of all, this amazing coach of yours, is she in America with you, or is she in Nigeria?
No, she's in Canada.
She
initially started off in the UK. Literally everything we do is online. So
right.
She's in Canada at the moment. She's on social media, called Me Olori, or She Dares to Succeed.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay, suffice to say that the UN and the amazing job in the UN is like old story now, right?
It's literally old. I'm like, and then I think what made it old was because I've always wanted to be present as a mom. I always wanted to, like, I feel like I don't even know when I would go out there and get a job and in the office, because obviously my husband is doing ministry. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want someone else to train my children. I want to train them myself. So I needed something to help me stay home. And I also I love money. So
many, and gone are the days where it was either or, isn't it? Now,
exactly.
You can have both.
You can have both. So I wanted money and I wanted to be with my kids. So I'm like, okay, what could I do? So that was what led me to being a stylist. Although it was hard because I would have to, you know, obviously the intricates of any business, like you have issues. Like even there was one time my matrix was going a little down, but then I always had to, because obviously they had their inventory stuff. So I always had to, you know, just work hard and just put myself in it and just keep going. Even being pregnant with Gabriel, I was still working there.
So Gabriel is your third, isn't he?
Third, yeah. Gabriel is my third.
Just for the sake of listeners, Wumi has three boys.
I have three boys. Three kids.
Got three boys under the age of six. So yep. Six and under.
Yeah.
So just to give you context of all she's talking about and the drive of this amazing woman. So please go ahead.
Thank you. So, I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be with my kids. And I think that was what my husband appreciated about me, because I wasn't chasing after the,
CEO position of some.
Exactly. Like wanting to go out there and do.
Some Fortune 500.
I'm like, okay, who is going to take care of my kids? I don't want to put them in. And obviously, daycares are expensive. So, you know, even when they go to school, they literally only do hours, like 3-4 hours. So they're still back with me.
Especially in the first world countries where we live right now. You know, it's completely different from what it's like, or what it was like for in our time growing up in Africa. It's completely, completely different ballgame. I hear exactly what you're saying, because I think that's what you've just said about wanting to train up your children, not wanting somebody else to do the training for you, is the drive for many female mothers,
exactly.
entrepreneurs. I don't even know if that's something, but so not just female entrepreneurs, but mommy entrepreneurs, I guess, is a good way to. Is because they want to be home. Some people are even homeschooling their children. So, at the same time, building 6-7-figure businesses, and because they want to be present. So I totally hear that. I totally hear that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, I mean, I was going to ask, I mean, you talked about, you know, being a stylist and, you know, then from there moving to obviously selling, doing Amazon FBA, which is a very popular platform.
Yes, it is.
Knows. I mean, Amazon is these days you hear people calling Almighty and Amazon on the same
I know, right?
Same line.
It's quick. You can make money on there.
I know. Absolutely. I know. I totally get it. I did try. Well, I say I tried. I became aware of that style of business not too long ago, actually. And I don't know if I attempted. I guess, you know, just I'm hearing you talk and hearing your passion for retail. And while I have a passion for business, mine is a bit, I guess, chop and change and a bit of a mixture of a lot of things. But we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. So. You highlighted selling. And you know why I'm really applauding you, even though I'm not like jamming my hands together, is because selling is probably one of the things. And this is not just among the women folk and among the females, but generally speaking, if the one thing that people shy away from is selling, and you are embracing it, you know,
oh, yeah.
with everything you have. And that alone tells me that, you know, even though it might seem like you're just launching, you know, your e-commerce business, I have no doubt that it's going to do well, because you are embracing something that a lot of people.
This is the trick. The trick is sometimes, like, I sold on Mercari, I still sell on Mercari, and Mercari is obviously, it's in America. So this is how I see it. So I list the product, and obviously people are afraid of selling because they feel like they have to force people to buy a product. But I only tell you why you need to buy the product. And then I just leave it. So I'm telling you the benefits, why this is good. Like, I list a perfume. First of all, I tell you that perfume, if you go to Macy's, it's $200. I'm selling it for $50. So I give you the benefit of it. So it's left to you to know. And then I tell you that, obviously, if it's good, if it's new condition, I have to put all those things like, I only sprayed it to test it. So you know that if you open the box and you see that it's open, you can't come to me and tell me that, it's not new, because
so
I know
what
I put in.
So
there's honesty in business, in selling. And then sometimes I see that, for 2 months, I haven't sold as much. Now, this works all the time. Discounts. One time I told my husband, I haven't sold on Mercari for a long time. So I was able to put away how much I bought the product and how much profit I wanted to make from the product. Because initially you're setting the buy high, like, I want to sell this for $50, because that $40, I must make my profit. But then I thought to myself, like my husband said, why don't you just cut everything half? But you will make that profit at the end of the day, and just forgo that extra $40 because you want to sell way more. So literally there was a time that I took out all my inventory. I was slashing the prices. I was actually telling them that I'm clearing out inventory. I want, because Mercari, you have to do it like a store. You're basically telling them that this is good for you. Like, this is cheap. Why don't you buy it? So I was telling them, I'm clearing out, I'm bringing in new stock. And everybody loves a bargain.
Of course.
So that day, literally, things were flying. I was tired. I was like, I packed 10 boxes. I'm like, I'm done. Can we stop this?
So just to understand, when you say you slashed the prices, you were still making a profit, but
I was,
making
a profit, because what happened is that, for instance, I picked what I was slashing. So I had old clothes. So I'm like, I don't really know how much these jeans were anyway, because I've worn it.
Right.
So it's like it's depreciated in value. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to sell it for 20, if I sell it for 15, I have still worn it. So even if I bought it for 30, but there's life on it, like it's been worn. But then there were some products that I knew that, this is still expensive because I still have the receipt and I know how much I paid for it. Or I bought a perfect set for $20 and I'm selling it for 40. I can still just go away with my 20. So that's slashing. So and then that got people excited because they're like, I'm getting this for cheap. So the ability to not be afraid to sell and being honest and not begging. So I'm not begging you to buy it, because I know that even if one person doesn't buy it, another person will buy it. So that's how I see. People are scared. Like, now I'm making posts about Mama's Butters. And I'm like, this is good for you. I'm not saying, please. I'm like, this is good for you. Check it out. And I just watch. I step back. And I believe in this theory that my customers will come. My people that will buy from me will come.
Absolutely.
And that's how I see it.
There's space for you as long as you are doing your bit and you are making people aware of what you have and what you are offering. Your people are there. The mistake a lot of people make is they build it and expect people to come to them, but that's not what you're doing. You are actually showing up
because they need to see me.
Absolutely.
And then a lot of people sell body butters online, so it's not I'm not the first. But then I just feel like, this is me. I'm selling my dream, my passion. So my friends and family will buy. And then as I keep advertising, people will buy. Because mine is all natural. So, obviously, there's the all natural thing that's going on.
Yeah, like absolutely.
All natural.
You're unique, you know, in, exactly. in yourself. We all bring our special, you know, mm-hmm. thing, you know, our special X factor to the table.
Yeah.
When, even if we're selling the same thing. And is exactly. that abundance mentality, realizing that there is space for everyone
space at for the everybody. Top.
So yes. we're not in competition. We might be competitors in terms of economy, but we are not competing against each other. Because yes. we understand that there's space for everyone and
for everybody. Exactly. You just have to put the effort in it. Yep.
Absolutely. Well done. My next question is, why shea butter? mean, I get it. You came from talking about fashion and mm-hmm. you know, talking about styling and then mm-hmm. shea butter. How did that and okay. selling all things, you know, on online, you know, Mercari yeah. and eBay and from there to shea butter. Why?
Okay. So when I was doing my strategy session, I always wanted, so obviously natural, something natural. Because, you know, in this household, we've tried, you know, you try to put in the natural here and there, not all the time. Obviously, I live in America, so there's a lot of things that are added to stuff. So when I was pregnant with Gabriel, it's like, okay, I needed products that would help me because I'm not someone that likes cream in my body. I just don't, even till now, I just cream the places that are obvious, like my feet, my hands. So I really wanted something natural. And I'm one of those people that my hair is natural now, but there was one time I decided to relax my hair when I was pregnant with Levi and I almost died because the chemicals in that product, I don't know what it was. It just really made my hair like burn. All it was right. so bad. So just, I'm one of those that are very sensitive.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just want to quickly explain to those listening, if you're wondering what relaxing hair means.
Yes, please explain.
If you are, again, and if you're a woman of color being specifically of African descent, so you could be African American and you have Afro hair, because those are, as far as I'm aware, I might be wrong, but I think I'm not. As far as I'm aware, it's women with Afro hair, so the curly, really curly and coily mm-hmm. hair, we tend to straighten our hair with relaxers. So it's not, I mean, it's now been proven, and I mean, we've come a long way. You know, we live in an era now where carrying your natural Afro, or, you know, is seen as amazing. But back from where we came from, mm-hmm. it was seen, one, as unmanageable and just, you know, you needed to do something and not very attractive. So we yeah. always had to like straighten the hair with relaxers. I was one of the first adopters of dumping that relaxer because I never liked it. Because I too hair. Had very sensitive hair, sensitive scalp. Mm-hmm. So I totally get where you're coming from. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, so I wanted ingredients in my body that did not have all those chemicals in it. So shea butter, obviously, it's from Africa. It's natural. It's good for your skin. And, you know, I was like, okay, I want to do a beauty line, skincare line. And I chose that as my primary product. So as the business grows, I'm going to add other things to it. But then also my love for perfume, like I started like, you know, loving, like I would watch YouTube videos and they would talk about bergamot, then they would talk about vanilla. And I just loved perfume. So every time I picked out a perfume in the store, I was coming from a place of smelling it and, you know, like starting to identify what I was smelling. So I was like, okay, if I have shea butter, and then I add fragrance into it. So I found some all natural fragrance oils and it just all comes together. So you Amazing. Have the natural, you have the butter, and then you have the scent. So it's lightly scented because of all those pregnant women, mamas, anyone that has sensitive, you don't want to put too much fragrance in your stuff.
Of course.
So that just helps. So that's how we have our lightly scented shea body butters.
Okay. So I'm interested. I'm intrigued, you know, because mm-hmm. I too like perfume. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of the things I remember back in the day, I used to do something really weird. I would pick up these magazines and, you know, all the, mm-hmm. and I used to
write the side strip.
I apart from just smelling them, because I didn't know the names of this amazing luxurious perfumes and luxury perfumes, so I would take a paper and pen, and then just start writing out all the names of these perfumes that I was going to try one day. And I didn't go as far as you have. but it's something I've always loved. So I'm intrigued. How do you source your materials for Mama's Butters? And so are they all sourced from America, or because I know Shea Butter is originally from Africa. So how do you source?
Okay, so my fragrance oils are definitely from Africa, from America. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how all these things just like who you're connecting with. So my coach, she also has her own Shea Butter line. So it just happened that she has it like a wholesale kind of situation, and she lives in Canada. So I get it from her, and I just like reliable source, because it's always, you have to be careful where you get your shea butter, because there are some that are not the best quality.
And just like with everything, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's amazing. Like, I received it and I was like, yep, this is it.
This is it.
And she's like my permanent business partner.
I'm amazed. And one of the things I'm loving about what you're saying is the support. So this is men supporting women. So she's not just talking her talk. And I mean, I don't even know this. I don't even know
this woman, right? But,
you know, I already like her, because she's obviously not just talking the talk. She's walking the walk.
She's so she's actually not just walking the walk.
You know, she's supporting, using her own business. I'm sure she could have kept that away from you guys and
exactly
giving you strategy, and then you go wrong with it. But she's partnering with you.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I should get her on the show, actually. Her name down.
Yes, you should. And funny, she gave it as a suggestion.
Really?
And she didn't even pressure. So I was like, okay, I'd rather start off with
good selling.
She did that, and I was really appreciative, because I would have chosen something else. There's so many venues, so many avenues that you can source your products from. But I decided, okay, I want to be safe, I want to be close to home. So that was why I chose her. And you know.
So I've got another question for you, which is just flowing from what you said. So did you always want to do product-based as opposed to service-based? So because you talked about being a stylist. So I know you were selling, I know you said you love retail. So I guess that's where it's come from. But did you ever consider maybe a service-based business? But has it always been, it had to be products for you?
Okay, so initially I started like, she came to me. No, when we started strategy, she's like, well, what's your why? So I told her who I was, and obviously she knows I'm a stylist. And my first conversation, which I told my sister yesterday, that even after Mama's Butter, I still want to be like a virtual stylist. I want to do it. So that was where I came from. But then I know that it takes a lot of years building like that rapport with people and confidence and people trusting you. So I know that that is something I'm going to do in the long run. But then also, it's so funny, it started from me thinking about, just from something childhood, I've always had dark circles in my eyes. So I was like, I want a product that would help women tackle that. Not necessarily take it away, like puffy eye bags. Obviously, I'm a mom now, so I barely sleep. But that was my why. Like, I want something to help me. And as we had conversations, I knew that I was going to get there, but then I needed to start off with a primary product. So that was something on my body that I felt like I could improve. That was where the skincare thing came along. Like, I'm still going to do it. And it's just something that I know that, okay, I grew up having like, you know, those eye things that you put in the freezer just to cool down my eyes, because I had really bad eye bags. So I was like, okay, I'm growing up now. It's not like my husband complains, but I feel like it's something that I could work on, and there's so many products out there. So it would be nice for me to be the face of, okay, this is why I'm doing this. So that's where the skincare thing came on. And I'm like, I'm still going to incorporate it into some of my products as time goes on.
Tis the season of Christmas cheer, and I'm briefly interrupting the interview just to let you know that the Girl Unlimited podcast would love to keep sharing the spirit of good tidings all through the Christmas period.
That means we won't be taking a break throughout the season. Thankfully, each episode drops every Wednesday, so you can enjoy your Christmas, Boxing Day, and New Year celebrations without having to take time to listen. Unless, of course, you want to, and who would I be to stop you? We good? Okay, good. Back to the interview.
Okay. You know, it's you know, just like they usually say, or I've heard it been said over and over again, that usually, especially when you're starting, when you're looking for ideas to start a business, that usually look to yourself and you, because you are your first customer most of the time.
Exactly.
So not all
and
the
I have
time,
a million stretch marks. So shea butter.
So you are your first, your
guinea pig. Yes, exactly.
You're your own guinea pig. So you are using the products on yourself as well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. One of the things that I've loved about seeing your brand online, because I mean, I guess I was one of the first people who liked your Instagram page and mm-hmm. stuff. And one of the things I loved the most was your branding. I thought it was.
Are you serious?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I've been in the space. Well, I say this space. I've been supporting a lot of businesses, primarily with writing from a standpoint of a copywriter, and I just loved your brand. I told you about my, you know, dabbling into Amazon FBA for a little while and gave me an opportunity to just check out what a lot of people were doing, as well as, you know, the fact that I work with businesses, helping them write their stuff and things. Mm-hmm. And I just liked the colors, the colors, and how very natural you come across when you write your mm-hmm. things. And that stood out to me. So I was wondering if you had this, if you were working with a power team. Okay, so you've mentioned your coach. So that is, right. So are you working with a graphic designer, a brand specialist, and the like?
So I have my coach, I have my husband.
Oh.
And I have Fiverr.
Okay, so let's take it. I'm glad Fiverr is. I think Fiverr is amazing. I've done quite a bit of stuff on Fiverr. I think almost everyone in the world has probably done something on Fiverr. I think the idea was just magic. So okay, you said your husband. So I know he's in ministry. So what role is he playing in the business, as it were?
Okay, so when I started, obviously my coach, we did all the name, the business name, all the colors and all that stuff. So she would jump in for my social media. She's amazing. Like, she would give me tips and stuff like that, because I wanted something bright. I wanted something that people would catch people's attention.
It caught my
attention. Where my husband where my husband started is when I was doing my labels. So I got the first draft and I showed my coach. She's like, oh, this is not colorful enough. So then I got the second draft and there were like two different label options. And my husband said, because he's a graphic designer. So he studied graphic designing in for his master's. So he's like, that looks like something that anybody can do. And this one catches my eye. So that he started telling me, tell her to do this, tell her to do that. That was where his passion for, like, he would support me 100%, but getting into it, because he was working two jobs. So he's like, okay, I can help you support you, but then, you know, ministry and it's a lot. So
yeah.
So then here and there, he would give me options and I'd be like, oh, thank you. Thank you. So he would tell me what to text to the label lady. And I call her label lady because that's what.
Label lady. I love that.
So he would tell me and then it would come back. He'd be like, oh, that's good. But then I would do this. I'll do that. I'll text her. Literally, I used to tell the lady, oh, my husband said.
Well, you have to do what you have to do, isn't it?
So then he did that, and then I went to Fiverr again, did the Shopify, got someone to do my Shopify, but then it wasn't up to par. So my husband literally went back and broke it down and changed it up. So then that was nice. I was like, oh babe, I'll pay you. I still haven't paid you.
I'll see how you actually are going to pay him.
I said I'll pay him, so I haven't done that yet. So we did that, and then when it started, like the website came, I launched it, and then he just told me, oh, you know, how about you do merch? So I was like, okay, I could do merch for Mama's Butters. And then one day, so he's that kind of supporter that he would let me be in control, but in and out, he was helping me, like he would, you know, drive me to go pick up boxes, and he was really supporting, but he wasn't trying to take over, or he wasn't trying to. So he let me, and then he did the merch, he designed the merch. And just out of the blue one day, he's like, because I also started feeling like I was asking way too much because he was busy. So then he's like, can we do 50-50 so that... like, this scam. But then when he said that, I was like, 60-40.
That's but a smart woman there. And I say smart, not because you are trying, because at the end of the day, it's a business. And mm-hmm. we have to treat it as a business, isn't it?
Yeah. But when he agreed, then I felt more comfortable telling him to do anything. Or, oh, babe, can we do this email list and give people 10%? Or, oh, babe, can we do... And he's willing, because there's a partnership, like, and I'm not feeling like I'm trying to drag him out of his
own
stuff.
Yeah, you don't feel like just, you're taking advantage.
Because there's always an incentive for everything, I guess.
Absolutely. No, that is... Honestly, I don't see how this won't work. When I say work, as I'm talking about the business, I don't see how it's not going to work, because you are... You seem to... Even though I know you have a coach and everything, which again is another thing I need to commend you on, because a lot of people, you have a natural flair for what you do. That's obvious from everything you've said so far. And you know how to push, you know how to work hard. And many people tend to stop there. They don't then take that extra, step to get a coach, which a lot, I mean, if you ask any successful person, there's no one that has actually succeeded on their own without some sort of coach, even
some
if it's not
sort of,
a
yeah.
formal coach like what you have, maybe a coach in the person of a loved one, a parent, or there's always someone who is sitting in that chair of mentor or coach who is, you know, who they can rub minds with, who is ahead of them. Like they say, the successful person has someone that they are, someone or people that they are looking up to and, you know, getting advice and direction from. They have colleagues or peers who they are feeding off each other. And then they also have people who they are supporting and they are pulling up as well, you know? So exactly. I don't see how this isn't going to work. So, and I love how you put on your business hat and not your wife hat when it came to...
So I'm like... I still say, babe, that 50-50 is a bit steep.
Oh,
but it's
gosh.
Nice. And even my coach, like, it's obviously, it's a session. So it's like a 6-week thing. So even like, if I want to do more products, I'll definitely connect with her. But here and there, she celebrates me, she contacts me. But then she gives me that, oh, you're the CEO, you can make decisions. But then when I'm afraid, I can still connect. So there's that connection that still happens, even though she will say I've graduated. But then she gives me graduation. But then I can still connect with her and then obviously create lines of communication and relationships so that as time goes on, I still can connect when I want to do more stuff. Yeah,
that's great. And you talked about the community of women in the... Sorry, I didn't catch this. It's success...
So it's a group of women from all over. We call it the inner circle.
Okay.
So it's the She Dares to Succeed inner circle.
All right. Yeah. You see, and that's a community of women that you have in your corner as well, which is another thing, because a lot of people, I have actually been in that place of suffering in isolation because I wear all the hats. I do everything by myself. I am blessed to be able to do a lot of things, but the fact that I can do a lot of things doesn't mean I should do a lot of things. And there are so many things that are not my zone of genius, but because I didn't have anyone, and again, that's another story, because I didn't, not because I didn't have anyone, but because I didn't ask for help, I will burn myself out, you know? So I love the way you've approached your business, because, and you have set you're setting yourself up for success from what I've seen. So, I mean, it's, you've mentioned, juggling motherhood. I mean, obviously, because you wanted to watch your children grow, that was why you went into business in the first place. So
yes,
you, but you've also highlighted the fact that it's sometimes not easy, because obviously you still have this young dudes that you have to be there for,
of course,
and at the same time still run a business, which mm-hmm. yes, we know, you know, it gives you time to, you can do it from home and you can be mm-hmm. maybe location independent to an extent, but it's still work trying to juggle, you know, both of them. So how have you done it? What are you doing to make
what am work? I doing? Well, I have a supportive husband, because literally this morning we all woke up around 6 o'clock, past six.
Six on, like, a Saturday morning. Oh wow.
Yeah, my kids, oh, six is, no, now it's 6:30. There was a time they would come in the room at 5:36. We don't sleep in on Saturday or Sunday. Like, that never happens.
So that, they are your alarm clock then, because a lot of people complain.
Yeah, because they go to bed early. So on a school night, they're in bed at 6:30, because we can't do it any longer.
you close shop at 6:30.
We close. We're like, we're done. Time for bed. Because we can't make it.
Yeah, no, I get that. But you know, because a lot of people complain about not being early risers and not being able to wake up early. So your children obviously are your alarm clock. You don't have a choice.
They run into our room. So this morning, he was tired. I was tired. They were ready to go. So my husband distracted them and I'm like, babe, please take Gabriel. I just want to sleep for 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Like, that 1 hour would do it for me. Like, just like, even if, like, he took me, Gabriel, he made breakfast for them and stuff, and they're getting him independent, like they'll brush their teeth, you know, they're starting to do stuff by themselves. So it's like he took them away and I could sleep, and that really helped. So having a spouse that would support me. And on my Instagram page, I talk a lot about self-care, pampering, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So even just when they go to bed, the ability to just rest and just chill before going to bed, that helps a lot. So myself and Nii, we're not even talking, like, he's on his laptop. I'm just watching a movie or on Instagram or YouTube, and just that rest after the whole day, it makes a lot of difference. Like, an hour just to just be just chill.
No, I get that. Having a supportive spouse is everything, because it's one thing if you were single.
Exactly.
If you're not, which obviously means you may have to draw on other types of support. But, you know, when you have a supportive spouse, it makes a lot of difference. Just like when you don't have a supportive spouse, that comes with its own challenges, exactly. Doesn't it? So I'm glad that you have that in place and you are aware of self-care, which is, I guess, one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, especially in the beginning, you know, just being able to have boundaries, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of, okay, I am working from now to now. You kids are going to bed. And honestly, when they start to do stuff by themselves, is a game changer. It's Trust me, I know changer. From personal experience, it's a game changer when they start to do stuff. But I mean, I used to be in that place where they used to come in and, you know, disturb me. And, well, I say disturb me, they run into the room and, you know, and stuff. But these days...
They're growing older, right?
They're a bit older, so no one. In fact, right now, in fairness to them, I don't need to, like, drag them out of bed or anything. But they do, you know, they're self starters. I never have to drag my 14-year-old from bed in the morning to go to school. He knows he's up at a certain time.
Yeah, imagine you had to do that. That's a struggle.
Honestly, I did, you know, back in the day. But, you know, these days, I don't know how. I mean, I guess it's just things are just happening.
It's the age, right? They start growing.
Even though I hear that, you know, there are teenagers that have a complete different, but that's not going to be our
exactly.
So, but yeah, so that's that one. So. In terms of obstacles, you know, you're still in the beginning stages of your business. And that was probably one of the reasons I wanted you to come on. And I'm hoping I can get you on again further down your journey. So we can compare notes and see what has happened and everything. But I know the beginning stages of a business are probably one of the toughest, because there are many things you're still trying to put in place. You're probably dealing with a lot of mindset issues in the beginning as well, mm-hmm. and you're getting together your power team that, you know, and, you know, a lot of things are new. So what sort of challenges have you experienced
in this stage?
What has been your biggest challenge? Let's go with that one.
Okay, so one of it was the day I was lunching. So we had a friend's wedding for the weekend. So we were away from the house. My labels came in. I was excited. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna like, literally, I think it was 2 hours before I got on the Zoom call. I opened the box of my labels and I'd spent like over $300 on them. I opened it and they did not fit the containers. No. So I was like, babe. And you know, like,
babe,
he ordered like, babe, like my, like, you know, I, you know, like things happen. Like we thought, okay, let's order it online because we wanted it to get here. This is just me being real, like things that happen. So I sent my husband, he's like, oh, you know, we can't order it in locally because it will take a long time. Let's go online. And I've been working with a Fiverr lady. So this is what happened. I had measured, I got the measurements for my containers online. Mm-hmm. And they literally measured, like, obviously I didn't think. When you're an entrepreneur, there's some things you don't think.
A lot of things you learn by experience, isn't it?
Exactly.
So it's one thing, you can't think of everything.
Yeah, they gave me measurements for the whole container. I didn't think that I should just measure where the labels would stick. So all through me and the Fiverr lady talking conversation, I was giving her measurements of the whole container. So my labels were fitting the whole container.
Oh my God.
Not the section.
So immediately
we saw that. And obviously my husband was just working with my measurements and he was ordering it online. Maybe we saw that the blame game started in my head. And I'm like, who am I going to blame? I blame the Fiverr lady. I blame my husband. So I'm like, babe, what's going on? What's going on? Like, he's like, you know, don't blame anybody. Just pick up. And then he took the container, started measuring for me. And he was just home for lunch. So he made sure that he started measuring. I sent the lady the new measurements. I forgot about the money because that's what we tend to do. You think about, hey, $300. Like in my mind, I'm like, I need to make this money back. But then I'm like, $300, $400, like seriously? And then I called my coach. She's like, don't worry. Like literally, like it's almost like you need people that will just snap you out of it. Because I was like, do I cry? Do I laugh? Don't blame anybody. Just get to it. So, and then I found someone locally and the labels came up perfect because we'd done. And then obviously I messaged the label lady and then I made sure that I didn't blame her. And then she was like, oh, you know, when you want to do labels next time, you know, make sure you just do a test. I didn't even think to print the test and test it. Like, the things you don't think about when you're starting a business, you just think it's going to flow like that. And that was like the hardest, literally the day I was launching my business. Mm. And I'm like, should I not launch? And my coach is like, you better stop that rubbish.
I'm loving it. The more you talk about this coach of yours, I'm loving her even more because you need such people that are going to tell you the truth and tell you straight. Mm-hmm. You don't need anyone that is trying to placate you at that time.
Exactly.
And I mean, they both, herself and Nii, obviously spoke words of wisdom, which we all learn as we go along, which is don't sweat the small stuff. It's happened. No need blaming anyone. Just get on with it. But at the time you're going through it, it's a completely different ballgame, isn't it?
It's hard. You're feeling like, oh, I'm making errors, but then the ability to not get into our emotions. Sometimes I got into it with anyone that was
available. Of course. I mean, that's expected, isn't it? I mean, you're not a robot. So it's the ability to snap back from that quickly. That's what it is, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm enjoying the conversation and it's what I knew it was going to be. And I'm glad that you're very open and very real because I think, you know, a lot of women just generally, especially when they're stepping out and doing something that they love and, you know, fulfilling purpose, chasing pursuing purpose, you know, we know the beginning and we know the end. We don't know, we don't see the process. And mm-hmm. and I'm not talking just from women, I'm talking just generally. We don't see the process, you know, we are not mm-hmm. privy to the process. We see, in inverted commas, overnight success. Exactly. And not realizing that overnight success took 10 years to get to overnight success, mm-hmm. you know. So just hearing the process, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast and interview women like yourself, because I wanted people to hear process. I wanted people to mm-hmm. hear journey. I wanted people to hear personal stories, you know, as to how did you get from here to, I'm glad that you've gotten to here, but how did you get from here to here, you know? So it's, I'm glad that you're open and you've been real with us on the podcast. So thank you very much for that. So, well, what if you could dream up like three tidbits, okay, Lord, let's make it one main advice for our listeners who are chasing their dreams on their own terms. So you knew what you wanted, you went after it, but what is that advice you would tell, you would offer to our listeners?
Okay, so I would say fear and anxiety. So those are two things that I believe would always stand in the way of success. So don't be afraid and don't be anxious, because when anxiety and fear come in, it literally paralyzes you and stops you from doing anything. Mm. So a couple of years ago, I think I used to be very anxious, anxious about everything, anxious about this, anxious about that. But then I always say, I get out of my head. So I stay away from my head. And that actually stay away from my mind, stay away from my head. And it actually helps me not to not go for the big things, go for, because once you're afraid, it stops you. So be bold, be courageous, and you can do anything.
Amazing. So. Thank you. I mean, for the likes of me, I am a natural overthinker. So I'm also, mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying about being in your head, stepping away.
Get out
from
of your head.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. Okay. So there's this exercise that I came across in a course that I took a few years ago, and I absolutely loved it, where the person running the course, the facilitator, she she made us do this exercise where we had to go to find a picture of ourselves from when we were little. So that could uh-huh. be, I mean, I think I was able to rustle up a picture of, I think I was about five or thereabouts. And she said to speak to our, well, right in that particular exercise was to write a letter to our, uh-huh. you know, our young self, our really young self. So this is from childhood. There's a reason I call this podcast Girl Unlimited and not Woman Unlimited or Lady uh-huh. Unlimited, is because many times that place when we were girls, and I like to refer to our listeners as girls, because mm-hmm. it's for me portrays that place of innocence, that place where you still had this wide-eyed wonder look in your eyes, you know, where you still approach the world with a playful, gleeful, excitable way, you know, you didn't care too much, you weren't into your head, like you just rightly said, you weren't so into yeah. your head as a little girl, you know, you played and you laughed without holding back, you know, and before all the, you know, I usually say, I mean, I know this is a very popular saying, and I tell my daughter, who is 11 now, and like, that don't grow up, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap, because, you know, you get all these responsibilities and all sorts of things happens to you. Life happens to you. But as that girl, you know, so I guess my question to you is, as the little girl, as the little Wumi, what if you had the opportunity to speak to her, what would you tell her? Knowing what you know now.
I think I would be like confidence, like they're like, you know, be confident in who you are. Don't be afraid to dream. Yeah. And the sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So We are coming to the end of the podcast now. So, you know, if you could shout from the rooftops about a resource that could be a piece of music, a book, a, you know, whatever, what resource would you highly, 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 highly recommend? Shout from the rooftops. What one resource would you do that for?
Okay. So it's so funny you say that because I'm not a reader. I don't like reading. I don't listen to a lot of music.
That's surprising, considering where we're coming from, our history. Okay. Our listeners who don't understand what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Don't worry. It doesn't matter.
One of the things I would say is don't be afraid to pay. Like my husband, like when he started his YouTube channel, he would pay for courses. He would pay to train. Like, don't be afraid to invest in knowledge. So that's just one thing. Like, you want to learn something, you want to learn an act. Don't be afraid to pay to learn it.
So paid resources then is what you're saying.
Yeah, paid resources. Because there are a lot of free resources.
Yeah.
But when you invest in something, I always feel like it yields a lot because you're sowing into your future business, or you're sowing into something that you can, that would help you. So don't be afraid to pay into a resource that would potentially make your business grow and prosper.
Absolutely. And that's what you did. And I hear you when you say that. That's sometimes, you know, a lot of people are scouring and spending so much time, the time that they could be using more effectively, because I mean, time is our most valuable resource, you know. And you know, they spend so much time scurrying around the internet trying to find, instead of just paying for a book.
Yeah.
In my case, I love books, but exactly. He's not paying for a book or paying
my husband
for a
loves books. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, I know you need. I know, right? The same wavelength when it comes to that. I love books. So, you know, they wouldn't pay just buy the book or buy the course or buy, you know. So you are saying that, you know, instead of, you know, wasting your time with free resources, there's nothing wrong with free resources. That's what, how you find people, and that's how you test people out. But, you know, don't be afraid to invest into a resource,
exactly,
because that would, I guess, make your journey move a little quicker. Absolutely. Exactly. Are the kids back?
Not yet. But my baby's awake, so he's just on the floor there.
Oh, playing. Right. Okay. She had to ask Nii to take the kids out so she could have a little breathing space to have this interview. Oh, yeah. And I really, really appreciate that, because you spent quality time with me this evening.
Yes, I loved every second of it.
Yeah. Evening your time. So it's been an amazing time. I've really appreciated you just taking this time to speak with me, and I've learned so much from everything you shared today about just taking action, you know, just taking action and going for it, even if you don't have all the pieces in the right place and everything. And this is real life, guys. There's a baby in the background.
I'm crying.
This is real stuff, man. So I love it. I love it, because this is your real life. Okay, well, where can people find you quickly, Wumi? Where can people find Mama's Butters?
Okay, so you can go on my website. It's www.mamasbutters.com. And also, you can go on my social media, Instagram, mamas_butters. Yeah.
Okay, so guys, just again, it is Instagram, mamas_butters, and mine are running up the stairs, if you can hear it in the background.
This is real life.
I'm not even going to edit those bits out. I'm not, because this is what it is. You know, this is how it's like. I know we like to edit those things, but you know, this is what it's like. So yeah.
Exactly.
www.mamasbutters.com. So please go check out Wumi and see the amazing stuff that she's doing. Just check out what she's doing. It's beautiful to look at. It's very pleasing to the eyes. And please buy yourself one of her products and make your life better. Get rid of the stretch marks if you have them. If you are pregnant at the moment. If you're pregnant at the moment and or you have just had a baby and you need something to help with those marks, please get some light shea butter from Mama's Butters, and we will see you next week. But thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate this time with you. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
You, my friend, are a total rock legend for listening to this episode to the end. I hope you found value in it. And if you did, would you do me a quick favor? Would you rate and review this podcast on the platform you're listening? And if the platform you're listening doesn't have the facility to rate and review, then please share the episode with your friends and your loved ones. It will go such a long way in helping spread the word of this podcast. And until next time, remember, you're a unique, remarkably created person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
You think that nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything, but I rise. Yes, you might have given up on me, 'cause you couldn't see what I see when I